Jude, verse 22. The Bible said, and of some, have compassion, making a difference. Amen. I believe it still makes a difference, don't you? Have compassion. And I believe compassion is something that really only God's people can really have. Amen. If the world had compassion, then when your money, your stuff run out, they'd stick with you. But I promise you, when your money and your stuff runs out, their love suddenly tapers off too. And I tell you what, I'm glad for compassion. Amen. I'd like to try to preach on that for a little bit if the Lord would help me. Amen. I have seen it make a difference. There's a lot of things in the church world that will help people, but there's still nothing that can replace the old-time love of God. I feel like that's what compassion really is, don't you? It's just a genuine love that comes from God. Amen. I remember a few months ago, it's been a few years now, but Neil was talking about time slipping away. It slipped by me some. Probably about 3.5 years ago or so, we had a young man in our community, my wife's cousin, and he was one of the kind that everybody had tried to help. You ever seen anybody like that? He had an ability about him. He had a starting ability, but he didn't have any finishing ability about him. Amen. He had bought a little single wide trailer and tore the cabinets out of it, Brother Neil, and going to build a new set of cabinets. And when he sold that place, the kitchen sink was still sitting on sawhorses. He meant well, but that's just the way he was. The devil had a hold to him. I want to tell you something. I want to talk about this in a little bit, but we have every Sunday our church buses in men from an addict's recovery home. And I preach to them people that alcohol is nothing but liquid devil. Amen. I believe that, don't you? And Kenny was bound by that, and he had been in and out of the county jail. He'd just wasted good jobs, hadn't been able to hold nothing, had two or three beautiful little girls, had a nice wife, and looked like could have been somebody. But as time went on, Brother Neil, his last deal that he pulled, he went to the Winn-Dixie and stole a bottle of mouthwash to get the alcohol out of it, just to drink it. And he was in the county jail. He was there for multiple things. They finally had caught him for shoplifting. And Brother Lynn, I went to that jail to see if he was sorry that he had got caught or sorry that he had done it to start with. Amen. And I went in there, and there was a 30-something-year-old man. I hope the Lord will help me here in a little bit. 30-something-year-old man that already was looking mighty haggard. And you know how dirty them old two-way phones are at the glass at the county jail. I can't hardly rub mine enough to get it clean enough to talk on. And he come to that other side of the glass, and I said, "How are you doing?" And, of course, that was just a bland question to try to strike a conversation. He began to tell me how that things was not going well for him. He had got so bad that his own family would not take his phone calls. Nobody would hardly go see him. Everybody was fed up with him. Amen. Oh, that's right. Brother Neil, I looked across that glass at that young man. I said, "I'm going to do something for you that seemed like nobody else is willing to do." And he looked at me like, "What in the world can you offer me?" And I said, "I'm going to give you another chance. And I'm going to believe in you." Amen. We finally talked with the authorities, and they finally agreed on a sum to get him out. And that young man got out of jail that night. He had to borrow a pair of boots. He had to borrow a pair of jeans. He had to borrow a shirt. But he come and sit on the front row of the church. We have special service. That wasn't even our midweek service. But we had church for him that night. And I preached to him about the prodigal son. There was a way he could come back home. And I want you to know before I ever got done. Amen. That old boy broke from that pew. He come to that altar. He confessed things that I thought he should have kept quiet. Amen. But he wanted to get it right with God. I want you to know the Bible said and have compassion. Amen. It's going to make a difference. Amen. If you're willing to reach out to this world. Amen. I want to tell you there's a lot of people. Amen. That their families have rode off. Amen. You might even be here this morning. That people's give you time and time and time again. And people's work with you. And people's tried to help you. But the Bible said in a psalm, have compassion. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It still works, don't it? Praise God. It'll break the hardest of hearts. Amen. It'll break the rankest of sinners. Amen. Well, I'm just going to tell you a few things while I'm trying to get comfortable here, and I'm going to sit down. One of the young men that we've been bringing to our church from that addict's recovery home, I don't know how you feel, and I'm not trying to open a can of worms with you. We have mixed racial people that comes to our church on Sunday. And Brother Neil, I tell our people, I said, if you can't love the black man, you ain't going to heaven. Amen. Come on now. We have some that ain't always clean and nice. We go down to the homeless shelter and preach. And our church goes down with us. And I said, I want you to hug their necks. I want you to shake their hands. You can take a bath when you get home. Come on now. Amen. You might look at somebody that's in the gutter. And God might have great plans for them one day. Amen. There was the young black boy that come to our church. He sits on the front row, Brother Neil. Amen. He just graduated. A solid year he's been in this. And he just graduated. And Sunday was his last service with us. He's going home. He told me after a few weeks of coming, he said, Brother, I want to talk to you. He said, I was in the military and I was a small arms specialist. He told me what all countries he'd been in and what kind of operations he'd been part of. He said, I've never been hurt. I've never received a scratch. He said, but I come home and I got hooked on alcohol. And he said, I got to where I couldn't live. He said, I got to where I couldn't stand myself. Amen. And brother, he said, he took a little pistol, little automatic pistol. And he said, I stuck it to my head. And he said, I pulled the trigger. And he said, nothing happened. And he said, I know all about handguns. He said, I took that thing all apart and I put it back together. He said, I put it back to my head and I pulled the trigger. And he said, nothing would happen. He said, the very next day I seen a preacher. And the preacher said, how are you doing, Chancey? And he said, I told him I can't hardly stand myself. And he got him in this little recovery home. Amen. He come to our church and we've been working with him. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I want you to know God still knows how to reach rank sinners. Amen. God knows how to turn people around. Amen. And this past Christmas, when he got to this addict's recovery home, his counselor asked him, said, do you have any family? He said, I had a girlfriend 15 years ago for one night. He said, she had a child, and I think it's mine. I'm not sure. They encouraged him, won't you write her? Won't you see if there's anything left? 15 years later, won't you see if there's anything between you two? She's a school teacher in Macon. So he writes her a letter just asking, you know, is it possible there could be anything between me and you still after 15 years? And he got an invitation to come to her house this Christmas. So I wish you'd help me a little bit this morning. And he come back to me after he went to this, you know, after the fact. And he said, Pastor, he said, I went to this house and I didn't know what to expect. And I'm sitting there in a chair. Brother Lynn, he said, right before this happens, let me back up, right before this happens, before he gets this invitation, while he's trying to get his life straight, while he's trying to get saved, while he's trying to get everything like it should be. Amen. He writes this letter, make sure if it's anything. The day his wife, his girlfriend receives this letter, amen, he said that she was sitting there reading it, Brother Steve, and the door slammed, and this big young black boy come walking in. He's a football player at the high school where his mama teaches school. Amen, come on now. And he said that she asked him, "Whoa, what's wrong with you?" He said, "The coach keeps likening me to somebody that broke all of our school records. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm sick and tired." Amen, you know where I'm going with this. I'm sick and tired of being compared to this man, and I don't even know who he is. Amen, so he got an invitation to come and see her. He said, "I'm sitting down in a chair," and he said, "This young black boy, this big boy, amen, comes walking in the door." Amen. He said, "This woman walks to him as this big black boy walks up to him and stands in front of him, and the woman says, 'Son, this is your father.'" Amen. Amen. He said, "That big old boy broke down and said, 'I know that was my daddy when I seen him.'" Amen. Come on now. Amen. They asked him, said, "What are you planning on doing with yourself?" He said, "I've got saved. I feel like I got my life straightened out. Amen. And I want to get a family and settle down." That woman had saved herself for 15 years. And she said, "Boy, we've been waiting 15 years to hear you say that. You got a home. Me and this boy is your family." Come on now. I tell you what, it was worth every Sunday that we reached across the pulpit to that old black boy. Amen. It was worth every ounce of compassion. Amen. It was worth that preacher meeting him that day and say, "How is things going for you?" Amen. When you meet somebody that's on a drunk and you ask a man, "How are you doing?" And they tell you, "I ain't doing so good." And you think, "Well, I didn't help him a whole lot." Amen. It don't take a whole lot to turn somebody around. Amen. Oh, I'd like to show more of that compassion, wouldn't you? Amen. It still makes a difference. Praise God. When God's gears get to working, they don't hardly stop rolling, do they? He told me, he said, "I'm going home. I'm graduating." And he come up to me just a few Sundays ago, Brother Joe, and he said, "Pastor, I got a letter from an attorney." I said, "You did?" He said, "Yeah, I did." He said, "I was scared to open it." He said, "But I opened that thing up." And he said, "My great-grandpa's done passed away." And he said he had some land. And he had a brand new house that was about 4 years old. And he said, "Pastor, I got me a brand new house to go home to." Amen. Ain't you glad somebody, amen, showed that boy a little bit of compassion? Amen. He's wanting to go into the ministry. Amen. I don't know if God's called him yet or not. I ain't told him he was called. I feel like he'll know he's called. Amen. But wouldn't it be great, amen, to one day bump in that old boy and him winning souls and think our little church has something to do with it. He said, "It's unbelievable that a black man can come to a white church and feel welcome." He said, "But I feel like I'm part of this place." Thank God. Amen. One old boy stood up. He said, "I'm an Episcopalian." He said, "I am a doctrinal police." And I thought, well, how do you define that? He said, "There's a lot of differences between us and you." He said, "But your love has won me over." Thank God. It's not hard to show the love of God. If you got it on the inside, it's going to come out. Come on now. It's not hard to show compassion. Because I've been forgiven much. And that makes you love much. Amen. I've been forgiven all of my sins. Amen. God wiped it away from me. As far as the east is from the west. And so when I see somebody in the gutter, it's not hard to look at them and tell them, "I love you," and mean it. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God began to put that young boy I was telling you about, Kenny. God began to put his family, the first one I was telling you about, back together. Amen. Another young man. I didn't intend just to tell instances. It looked like that's the way it's going. Brother Neil, there's a young man that's been a coming. We have about 25 of them or so on Sunday that come help us that way, and we try to help them. One Sunday, I touched on adultery. And I told him, I said, if you've ever been married before, God ain't pleased with you if you're looking for another one. Amen. Amen. I told him, I said, it ain't ever right, and it won't ever be right. Amen. There was a man that met me on the carports of the church that morning. He said, Pastor, I ain't never heard that before. He said, I'm gonna get with my ex-wife. I hate people to say that. She's yours till you die. Amen. I tell them, man, don't call that to her, to me. Amen. You tell me your wife. Amen. Might be. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about. And he said, I never heard that. He said, I think I'm going to call my ex-wife and see if I can get anything worked out with her. This old boy's been alcoholic and a drug addict. I mean, he's been in prison. He's full time. I mean, he's done terrible. Amen. But I'll tell you something. I want to show you what a little bit of compassion can do. Amen. That old boy come to me Monday of this week. Amen. The night I come here that previous morning, he come to me. He said, Pastor, I went home. He said, I've been talking to my ex-wife. He said, we used to always scream at each other. He said, but you know what? We had a good conversation. And he said, I talked to her and she talked to me. He said, we've been divorced 14 years. Amen. They've kept themselves. They've just been separated. Amen. He said, I'll tell you what. He said, I think things is going to work out. I think we're going to get back together. Amen. That is the will of God. Do you believe that? Amen. Come on now. Amen. God's still in the business. Putting families and lives back together. But it's the church's responsibility to show that compassion, my friend. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm going to say this. I'm trying to close because I want these other good brothers to have plenty of time. I was in a church. I was about 17 or 18 years old. Amen. I was filling in for a brother, a pastor that was going to be gone that morning. As I was sitting there, Brother Steve, this man walks in. He's got a big beard and he's got a hat on. He looks kind of rough and he's drunk. He staggers all the way to the front bench and sits down. The Sunday school secretary's over there. And I guess he liked what he saw. He said, excuse me, are you taking? She just kept scribbling. He said, excuse me, are you taking? She said, yes, sir. Just kept writing. He was just talking and rambling around. But he's drunk. That's what drunk people do when they're under the influence. Amen. Somebody in the church that had a little leadership position there, let him know, sir, if you don't be quiet, we're going to have to ask you to leave. But Stevie said, who's preaching this morning? They pointed at me and he looked at me and said, nah, he ain't old enough to preach. You know? But they put it on him so hard that he got his whatever he had with him up, Brother Ralph, and he staggered back out the door before the Word of God ever had a chance to even talk to him. I know we're in camp meeting, but I know we're all composed of churches. And I expect you feel a lot like me. But I wished I had prostitutes in my church. I wished I had drug addicts in my church. One Sunday night we had on one end of the bench, we had one of the biggest drug lords in our area. On the other end of the bench we had a moonshiner. Amen. Oh, that's right. Amen. And then in the middle we had a deputy sheriff. Amen. In the middle of them two was the deputy sheriff. But when the altar call was given, all three of them piled off in the altar. Amen. I want to tell you that's exactly the way the church is designed to go. Amen. Come on now. Amen. I heard one brother say, I don't believe in tattoos neither. But one brother said, I wish my church had more tattoos in it than any church in the country. Amen. What do you mean? People that used to be lost and people that used to be without God. Amen. That's changed their lives. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Bring them just any way they are. Amen. I want to tell you, regardless of their state, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, it still cleanses from all sin. Amen. Praise God. Amen. I tell them old boys on Sunday morning, I said, I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. But I do care where you're going. Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, I felt Southern hospitality. We Southern. Y'all might call us North Georgia, but we Southern. Ain't we, Brother Lynn? Amen. Amen. But I tell you, compassion goes past Southern hospitality. Don't it? Amen. It'll help a man when he's down for his last time. It won't kick him out the rest of the way. Song says, just before the waves of slumber had rocked my soul to sleep. Just before. Amen. I'd like to have more compassion, wouldn't you? I felt it when this brother here was singing. He was younger then. And they were singing up a storm. But I seen something coming out of that good brother and his wife that got a hold of my heart. Made me want to change. Amen. I'd like to be responsible for somebody else changing, wouldn't you? I'd like to be responsible for somebody else going to heaven. If I can just play a little part. I'm not looking for a major role. I just want to be part. Amen. May God bless you. Turn it back to Brother Neil.